Good, a good tenor of Shabbos, Baruch Hashem. Okay, so just to update the Olam, I'm in Pennsylvania right now with Rabbi Center. And I don't know how far along I'll be here, but Baruch Hashem, we're all quarantining for our 2 weeks, and then after 2 weeks, we'll be able to have some sort of a yeshiva over here on grounds. And Mir Hashem, I do really, really look forward to going back to Eretz Yisrael and joining everyone in Eretz Yisrael, which Baruch Hashem, the good news came out this week, and hopefully it'll be safe news and healthy news that shuls are being opened in all different parts of the world. And Eretz Yisrael, shuls indoors, and in New York also with a very minimum amount of people. And before we go back into the shuls, we have to give a little zbaynenos of towards what were we missing? What did we miss by not being in shul? We missed that surah of Avodas Hashem, of davening in shul with the minyan, davening in a makom kadosh. Shuls have kedusha, a beis medrash has kedusha. We were missing that, and in order to hold on to it, that we should be able to continue to have shuls, we need to think about what do we have to do. And one of the most important ideas that are brought down by many of the different gedolim that went through different shvar tkufis was a kabbalah of giving more respect to shuls. It's something which we together have worked on throughout the years that the shul was open. Befrat, not talking in shul during davening, or not talking in shul during Kriyas HaTorah, and not speaking to Varim B'Telem at other times in shul. But that's a Kabbalah that we could all make now before we go back in, that we can respect the shuls. We can use the shuls for what they're meant to be with its Kedusha. I wanted to continue just this, to finish off the topic that we're speaking about in the past 2 weeks with Eruv VeChatzeros, the part of Eruv VeChatzeros, which is that joins all the different apartments or different families together as one family through the bread or the matzah that we put aside. And just to sum it up with different practical examples. It's interesting, this week over here in Pennsylvania, I got here on Monday, and the first job that we had to do was build the Eruv. So over here was more building the Eruv with the strings and the post, and we also had to do Schiris Rishos, like we spoke about last week, that when there's a non-Jew or a Mechale Shabbos on the premise, you need to do Schiris Rishos. So we had to do Schiris Rishos with the town council. So Mir Hashem, I want to, in Be'ez Hashem, next week, I'll try to, if I'm techie enough, to go around with the, as we'll give share, as we're going around to the lechis and the kanes, the strings with the post, and how different ideas that we use. We use something called T. Pikra, the Sison we'll speak about, to show how we built the Erev over here. With that, learn different halachas about building the Erev itself, which every group of houses would need. So going back to the topic that we're discussing, which is the Erev Chatzeres of the joining the different families together through the matzah. So if you have an apartment house, so over there, the walls of the apartment house, I'm discussing carrying from the apartment, from one apartment to another apartment, or apartments to hallways, or hallways to the apartment. So over here, you have walls already as part of the apartment building. Within the apartment building, we're not talking about going from one apartment building to another apartment building, but there's still a need for Erev Chatzeres must be made. And if there is a non-Jewish person or a Mechal Shabbos living in one of the apartments, he's renting one of the apartments, or he owns one of the apartments. So then we need to buy the premise of each non-Jew or the Mechala Shabbos. We have to buy, we have to, like we spoke about last week, giving him something. and without acquiring, renting, or leasing his rishus. The second step is that now, once you did the schirus rishus, the Shemi Shabbos families in the apartment building must make an erev together, where the meaning is that one family takes a box of matzah and he gives it to someone else to be zeichen for all the Shemi Shabbos of the building. If you're in a bungalow colony, so bungalow colony usually has either a fence around it, or if there's no fence around it, so then we'll have to put up strings with the post, which we'll discuss more next week, that part of it. And then again, the same idea like in the apartment building, we need to make Erev Chatzeres. If it's only Jewish families there, so then they could just do with one person being Zeichen for everyone. But if they are non-Jewish or Mechalei Shabbos renting or owning, so then you have to do Schiris Rishos with them. When one goes to a hotel, can I carry from the room where I'm staying in to the hallway, from the hallway to the room? I want to go out to get some hot water from the hot water urn. I want to go get food from the dining room if it's a religious hotel, kosher hotel. So what am I able to do? And again, this will permit you to carry, what we're about to say, will permit you to carry in anything which is in the enclosed area of the hotel, as long as it's enclosed. For sure, in the building, even out of the building, if it's closed in with a fence or they put up an Erev. So if the owner is a Shomer Shabbos, then an Erev does not need to be made. This Erev Chatzeres does not need to be made. And it's mutter to carry from the rooms to the hallway or any part of the enclosed area. That's if the owner is a Shomer Shabbos. We consider it as if everyone is his guest. And since he didn't rent out a room to anyone, so it's considered like one big happy family. But if the owner is a non-Jew or a Mechalel Shabbos, so then an Erev must be performed. We need to make an Erev. Now, many Paiskim hold that temporary residence we'll come back to this point in a moment. So if the owner is a non-Jew or a Mechal Shabbos, then an Erev must be made. Now, what happens again? One of the Shomrei Shabbos guests must buy the rooms of all the non-Jewish and Mechalei Shabbos guests from the owner. He does that Schiris Rishos. Then the remaining Shomrei Shabbos guests should then make an Erev Chatzeres. If all the guests in the hotel eat the food prepared by the hotel in their rooms or in the public dining room, doesn't make a difference where they eat the food, but they're all eating from the dining room and they're all reliant on the food of the dining room, which means that if someone can't make it to the dining room, the hotel will send them food because the food is being given out and everyone's eating from the food of the hotel. So then even if the owner is non-Jewish or Mechal Shabbos, then you do not need an Erev. So again, if the hotel is owned by Mechal Shabbos or a non-Jew, we need to make an Erev unless all the guests in the hotel eat the food prepared by the hotel, whether they're eating it in their rooms or in the public dining room. It doesn't make a difference. And also has to be that they're reliant on the hotel's food. If in a case where you're the only Jew in the hotel, there's only one Jewish person in the hotel, so then you don't need an Erev. Then you don't need an Erev. But if there's more than one Jewish person in the hotel, that's when we need to make the Erev. When it comes to summer camps, sleepaway camps, also one does not need to make the area of chaseres, but since everyone's eating from one common kitchen, so it's like the fact that everyone's eating from that one common kitchen is like everyone is joined together through the, it's like pasachas, or or even if you're not eating from the food of the kitchen, but if everyone's eating in the dining room together, even though some eat their own food, but since everyone comes together into the dining room, that makes it like one family, and that takes the place of Erev Chatzeres. In a hospital, there's also no need for Erev over there, because the hospital has the right to move around, to transfer the patients. So you consider like a guest, even if he pays, but still you consider like a guest in the hospital. And number two, the hospital also has equipment that moves around in each room. So since they have equipment in each room that they take in and out, or they could take in and out, that joins everyone together. So in a hospital, one would not need to make an error. Similarly, in a yeshiva dormitory, there's also no need for an error. The bachrim over there eat from a common kitchen. Or number two, the bachrim also, they don't establish their residence over there in the rooms, especially that the yeshiva reserves the right always to move them around. And number three, also, it's like we said, there's no permanent rights to their rooms. Now I just want to go back to one point here, which is that talking about the hotel that we mentioned, that if it's owned by Shemesh Shabbos, so then there's no need for an Erev. Why is there no need for an Erev? So either because the guests eat from a common kitchen, so it's considered like all the guests of the hotel is the guest of the owner, so that's equal to an Erev, or because the guests are only temporary residents. That's the second reason. Since they're there for less than 30 days, they're considered like temporary residents, and that's called guests. You're the guest of the management. You're the guest of the owner. Even if the individual rents separate apartments with kitchens and they have these special rooms and all that, but since you're there for less than 30 days, this is a svara alone to patir from the Erev Chatzeres. However, but when it comes to a hotel which is owned by a guy, even though you have this second reason of temporary resident, that you're there for less than 30 days, and there are some paiskim that do rely on this, that temporary residence is enough to say that you do not need to make an Erev. However, many paiskim hold that it does not apply to when it's under a non-Jewish or Mechalship Shabbos ownership or management, and then you still need to make the Erev Chatzeres. And that's why we make the Erev Chatzeres. If one will be stuck in a situation where he cannot make the Erev Chatzeres, so then he'll be able to rely on those paiskim. Just to end off with a short vart, we're beginning Sefer Bamidbar, which Parshas Bamidbar speaks about, and the Sefer Bamidbar speaks about Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, and Parshas Bamidbar almost all years come out the Shabbos before Shavuos. We spoke about this week, the Chukosai is before Shavuos to teach us that before Mekabel Torah, there's a contract over here. There are brachas and klalos. There's a commitment to doing what you're supposed to do. If not, there's punishment. And if you do yet, there's reward. There's tremendous reward, a lot more reward if you mekayim the Torah. So too, Parshas Bamidbar is before Shavuos to teach us that Parshas Bamidbar is before Shavuos to teach us that Kabbalah Satayr is doimah to the Midbar. The Gemara tells us in the Darim and other places that just like when you go out to a Midbar, there's nothing there. It's empty. It's almost like over here in Pennsylvania. We don't have water in many of the buildings. It's empty. We're waiting for deliveries of simple things. So too, the Midbar is really empty. The Midbar is, you're totally reliant on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Kabbalah Satayr takes a lot of commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to what he wants of us. And then when we commit to him, he raises us up way above everything and he takes care of us. So if we take a look at the Psukim by Kabbalah Satayra, which this week, Be'ez Hashem is Rish Chodesh, Sunday is Rish Chodesh, and it begins the Parsha of Hachana for Kabbalah Satayra. Like we know from the Sfarim that on every Yontif, there's a re-happening of what took place on that day. So on Shavuos, there's a re-matan Torah, and kefi, the amount of Hachana that we put into it, is how much Torah we're going to receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much Siyata Shemaya we're going to have in the Torah that we learn, the Torah that we keep, is dependent on the amount of Hachana that we put into it. Befrat, over here by Kabbalah Satayra, where the Torah spells out to us that the days before Kabbalah Satayra were days of Hachana. We begin with Beis Sivat, it's called Yom HaMiyuchas, in Sfarim it's brought down as Yom HaMiyuchas, because that was the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'yisimli segula u'mamleches kohanim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you'll be my chosen nation. You'll be the ones which are my priests, the ones that are close to me, the ones that I'm choosing to be my nation. And that's Yichus. Yichus, that's Yichus. Yichus is the Yichus is Yichus. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us Yichus. But again, Yichus is not everything. As a matter of fact, Yichus alone is really a bunch of zeros, but we have to put the one before the zero. We have to become someone. So we got the Yichus. But after the Yichus, we need to go further and build ourselves. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Ve'esa eschem ha-kamfei nesharim. In the parsha over there, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll raise you above, or I'll raise you up on the eagle's wings. So I once heard a good vart from Rav Matchadruk. He asked, why the Nesha, why the eagle? Klai Yisrael, many chazalim, adayma to a dove, to a yayna. A yayna, why are we not? Why don't we stay on the wings of the yona? Why dafka Nesha? So he said that the Nesha is the bird that has all the four simani tuma, all the four simanim of what a narkusha bird is. Anesha has all those four simanim. Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, "Ve'esa eschem akafin esharim." I don't care where you're holding, but if you do that step of taking that step towards me, of somewhat of a commitment to me, I will raise you way above the Nesha. I'll take you out of all those dargas of tumah that you may be in to bring you closer to me. That's ve'yisim li segula mamleches kainim. And we find many different chazam that give different mishalim to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as an imi, as my mother, biti, as my daughter, achoisi, my sister. And each relationship is in a different way. And that's what we're being zeicha to now. But it's all dependent on our hachana. So giving thought before we go into Shavuos about what we need to be making ourselves. The Marsha and Avodah Zarah tells us that the Yontif of Shavuos is really, according to Halacha, which we paskin, how we paskin, Hilchos Nidah should come out that Shavuos should really be on Zayin, not Vav. But since on Vav they said Nasav and Ishma, they were ready to be Mekabel the Torah, that's even more important than the Kabbalah Satayra itself, being ready for Kabbalah Satayra. And the Marsha quotes the Mishnah, Yiras Chetai, the Koshim Yiras Chetai is more than his Chachmasai. Yiras Chet. So the Akdama, the Hachana to Shavuos is preparing yourself, recognizing what your job in this world is. Why am I here? To create Kvay Shemayim, to fulfill the Torah, even when it's difficult, even when it's sometimes a trying time, challenges come up. And if we take this week, beginning with Rish Chodesh, beginning with Shabbos Mevarchim already, we're already introducing the month, and we start each day just with a little Zbainus, so learning some Sefer that talks to us, that inspires us in what it means to be committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then, when we come to Shavuos a week later, we'll be ready to say Nasa Vinishma. Nasa, to say Nasa is a darga. You can't just say, I will do. You're ready to do whatever you're told to do, even if you don't know what you're going to be told? to really commit, it takes a lot. You have to be really committed and really reliant and belief in the other person to make such a commitment. So Be'ez Hashem, like we started off that, Baruch Hashem, we were able to, in many places, go back to Minyanim, outside Minyanim, inside, and of course, keeping to all the safety rules, which I have to make a point also that that us people in the Chutz Aretz, when we come back to Eretz Yisrael, the Mi'atz Hashem, if there's still rules that we have to quarantine, and whatever we need to do to keep the Bnei Eretz Yisrael safe, we have to do that. And keeping to those rules, the safety and health rules, Be'ez Hashem, Hashem should appreciate our commitments of Kedusha's basic Knesset, like we spoke about in the beginning of this year, and our commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and our Avodas Hashem, and our Yiras Chet, with the Abi Zechet, to a tremendous Matan Torah, and Halvai, that all this that we went through was just to bring us to this point, that we should be able to recognize the Yad Hashem in this world, and to really be able to tell the Rabbi Shalem, I'm ready, Nasim and Ishma. And when Matan Torah takes place, to receive that Torah, which will create Kvay Shemaim and bring us to the final Geula, and be Zecha to be all back in Eretz Yisrael, Shleim HaBeruah. Anyone?
Yeah, Rabbi, you froze for a minute.
I froze?
Yeah.
So which part did you lose me by?
I think you froze by B'mehir B'yameinu Amen.
Okay, so I say any questions now. So you...
If there's one person in a hotel, for a Jewish person, that you don't have to make an Erev, I don't understand why not. You don't have to do Schiris?
If there's one person, then you don't have to do Schiris. It's only if there's two. Take a look at Simon. Look in the Shimpi Beis Sif Aleph and the Mishmur over there.
Someone asked me today about Tosefes Shabbos. If a minyan daven is 15 minutes before Shabbos, when do they get Tosefes Shabbos?
So 15 minutes before.
No, the davening mincha 15 minutes before.
Oh, so we follow Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe held that, Rav Moshe said he never heard that you have to be Mekalb Shabbos B'peh. He held that Kabbalah Shabbos is stopping to do the melacha. And that's not a steer at the davening mincha.
Just the lack of doing melacha.
That's right. The lack of doing melacha is Kabbalah's Tosefes Shabbos. And that's not a steer to... So he says a lot, Rav Moshe said, I never heard this thing about being Mekalb Shabbos B'peh, even though it's a Mishnah Brura, it's a Mefurshim Mishnah Brura, it's a Ritva also, but he said in the Halacha, he never heard this meaning that you have to be Mekalb B'peh. So Rav Moshe held that Tosefes Shabbos is when you stop doing Malacha.
What if you do Malacha? You lose it?
Yeah. At least 2-3 minutes, right? You have to stop. It could be more than that. It could be Tosefes Shabbos is automatic. And if it's automatic, then you really have a problem.
Well, then you can't daven mincha in those 3 minutes?
No. Mincha you can daven, but you can't do malacha. You're talking about doing malacha. 2-3 right. Minutes before Shkia. Well, you're not in the dorm anymore.
What's considered Kabbalah Tzibur? I mean, I came a little late. Maybe we spoke about this.
No, we didn't speak about it today. Kabbalah Tzibur is when you belong to a Tzibur, that this is your Tzibur, which the Paiskim say doesn't exist so much nowadays, except the one example that they give is, let's say you have a bungalow colony where the minion, one minion over there, that minion is Mekalb Shabbos early, or in yeshiva, you belong to, there's a yeshiva, this is the minion in that place. It's out in Pennsylvania in New Bloomfield. There's no Jews here for another hour away, hour or something. You go to Baltimore or to Harrisburg. So over here, there's one minion. If we're Mekalb Shabbos early, guy cannot drive his car onto the premise. He can't take a shower. He pulls up at the last minute. He can't take a shower. What?
Well, and if you not, and otherwise, let's say in Ramat Eshkol, there's no real Kabbal Sibur?
Pashas not, because if you don't dive in one shul, you go to the other shul. So what makes you? Maybe if you're this they clear, if you have vision, it's a chassid. You always dive in vision, it's your makbet, the dive in vision, it's so perhaps that year.
So Ophida, when do you have a heter of shusim until you're Mekabel Shabbos officially?
Yeah. That's the kasha that the prima, that's the kasha that all the paiskim have, that if I'm a chayv to Mekabel Shabbos, Tosefes Shabbos, already 2-3 minutes before Shabbos, at least, then when do you ever have the heter of shvusim bein shmashis?
Right.
Already on Mekabel Shabbos. So they give chilukim, if it was bepeh, the machshava.
One of the chilukim are a kabbal siachar or kabbal tzibur.
That is one of the chilukim. That is one of the chilukim.
So if you that, when is the kabbal tzibur?
There's right. Kabbal. That's what the Bir Allah says. What the Bir Allah says. When you just
December, January, February, March.
What? Yeah. All right, so because there's no Kabbal Sibur, I lose that heter, that ability to offer the Kabbal Sibur.
Am I being hacked here? You hear what, or someone's just unmute himself. Okay, yeah, what do you say, Daniel?
The fee that if there's no Kabbal Sibur, then I'll go
back. Like, okay. שלח לי, היא שכה לי את זה במייל, בסדר, אני אבדוק, רק את ה... פה יש חזרות, לכן אני אתן לך פחות מ-25, מקסימום נזק את החזרות, ואז אני אבדוק שישאר חייב, ואני אביא לך, בסדר?
Please kick him out or mute him, thank you.
הוא התקשר אליי באמצע שיחסתי לנקות, לשטוף את הרצפה וזה, שכחתי לבדוק.
Please kick him out. יעקב, get out.
If there's no Kabbal Sibur, then it's quite Kabbal Yachid.
You're right. The Bir Halacha says what you would say. Look at the Bir Halacha in Shin Mem Beis and also in Reish Samach Aleph, I think it might be. In two places.
Yeah.
Rooted next Sunday is doing Tosefta Shabbos. Mm. If you want to join them.
Yeah. Keep that in mind.
I got a few questions. A few people asked me, and I'm a man of the tzibur, so I'm passing over the question. My question is...
the rabbi.
For a friend.
No, I tried to tell them I'm the rabbi, and they said, if you could get in touch with every wiener, though, we would appreciate it. So I'm just asking. Some people wanted to know if we should do Alias or just the Balkaira should be. I haven't seen anyone here. I know there are shuls doing it in Eretz Yisrael, but from the few that I've been a part of so far, no one did one Aliyah. Everyone was just giving out Alias. The question is, what should we do in our shul?
If they're wearing masks and the person makes the bracha and moves to the side, even if he doesn't read along with the Balkari, then we could give aliyahs. Does the Balkari moves to the side, the person makes the bracha, then he moves to the side, he distances himself, then I think we could give aliyahs. If, again, I'm assuming that our crowd is going to keep to the rules and the way Reb Shia and Reb Uri, Rav Chaim, whoever it is that set up the shul, in a way that it's everything separated and everyone keeps to their seat. We finally could give out seats for membership with their
right,
on, hopefully. So I'm saying, so if you keep the rules, so then you can do aliyahs also. Balkari moves to the side, the person comes up, gets his aliyah, and then the person gets aliyah, moves to the side. Either he could see in the Torah or even if he can't read along, it's not ma'akiv. And then the Balkari comes. I think we could work out a system like that.
Right.
What Marburger Soul doing was that they have basically one guy everybody lanes their own aliyah. And then the regular Balkari reads most of the parsha, except towards the end, they broke up the last, you know, aliyah or whatever, the last bunch of small psukim.
We could do that if it's possible. We could do that if it's possible, but I think that's a little more complicated if on Friday morning. But I hear it's a good idea. If it's possible.
I'm saying anybody who can do it. You put out a thing earlier in the week to take whatever, 6 psukim, 7 psukim, whatever it is. You just know in advance. This way anybody else who really wants an aliyah can learn their own thing.
Okay, if the Gabe is up to it, then yeah, that's a good idea.